The following is intended for mature audiences only. May contain strong language, crude humor, adult themes, and suggestive material.
Welcome to another episode of We're Done Here. We are here this week with our good friend, Zuby Ahmed.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, Zuby. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Zuby is a New York City-based comedian. She's super duper funny and entertaining. She also, like, does a show called Coot the Gang.
Yep. You got it right.
Yeah. No, I know. Do you do another show or did I make that up?
No. It's just that one.
You've also been on Rami?
I have. I've been on one episode of Rami.
Whatever, yeah. Close enough. I haven't watched it yet, but I swear I will. Anything else I'm missing about your career, Zuby?
Not really. That's about it. I mean, I'm on the blacklist for a script that I wrote, you know, for on the Muslim list. It sounds like a targeted thing.
Wait, there's a blacklist or a Muslim list?
So, you know, the blacklist for scripts?
Yeah.
There's like a website.
Okay.
So you have like they have like these competitions and stuff like that. So I'm on the Muslim list, which is
It's not like the no-fly list.
It's not in part by like.
That's what it sounds like. Okay. But yeah, tell us where you're from. How long you've been doing comedy? Like, yeah, tell us your story.
So everybody gets like very, very, as like someone who was raised in New York, everyone gets so like. Into the depths of it because
we from this street on this block.
But here's the thing, I was born in Chicago, okay?
Oh,
and that always gets
people.
But
wait,
I was
so
raised here.
When'd you come here from Chicago?
I came here in the first grade. I started the first grade.
Oh, I guess that's okay.
Yeah, I had the green Metro card, okay? Like,
we will let you slide, okay? Zuby from Chicago. So where did you go in first grade? What borough are you from?
PS 214, Brooklyn, New York.
What's up? You're from Brooklyn. Okay, great. I love it. Okay, cool. So you're from Brooklyn, but you by way of Chicago, weird. And then when did you start doing comedy? Because you also I feel like you're a professional as well.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Is that not true? Okay, that was wrong. She's not.
You know the imposter syndrome. It's crazy.
It's wild.
You know, you're just like, I'm a professional? Shut up.
I thought she was.
I started stand-up in like 2018.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Like full on doing stand-up. Yeah.
Nice. I love it. How has the journey been?
It's had its ups and downs, you know
okay.
what I'm saying?
Do you still love it or are you still gonna do it or are you like over it?
I love it.
Okay, yeah. It's like crack cocaine.
I love stand up, even when I'm like not doing well.
I love that. I love that.
I feel like in those moments, like that's life, right? That's the beauty
all
of it.
Roses.
I fucking like when before getting on stage, you get like this like weird acid reflux in your heart.
Yeah, that's good.
Like
that's good. The acid reflux. It's about the acid reflux. Okay, great. I love that.
This makes you feel alive, you know. And I love the way that stand up makes me feel, even when I'm like, even. If it's not the best night, you know?
No, I get that. Yeah. I love that. Okay, great. Well, thank you for sharing that. We are doing We're Done Here Pod, so you know we have to get deep and down into the dirty of things. Not deep, not that down. But anyway, so just to let you guys know, I am doing a series on racial trauma because I've seen a lot recently. As a Black person, it's just almost triggering to watch other groups of people go through racial trauma. So we are doing a series about that. We're going to have various individuals talking about their experience being, you know, a person of color, being a different religious identification, a different sexual orientation. And we have Zuby here today, who is a Muslim American. I feel like now I'm in the episode of PBS. But essentially, there's been a rise in a lot of Islamophobia recently. A young boy was killed recently.
Yes.
Was that in Chicago?
That was in Chicago.
That was in Chicago. Like in
Don't, suburbs.
Bitch, do not go to Chicago. They crazy as hell out there. But he was killed for being Muslim.
I mean, things like that have happened throughout, like, my lifetime, right? Like, my neighborhood is very, very Bangladeshi, which is, like, a
South Brooklyn?
Asian.
In Brooklyn? Yeah, I didn't know the Bangladeshi, because I'm from Queens, so, you know, we got our little, the Bangladeshi.
You guys have, yeah. Bangladeshi take over every place.
They just be outside?
So, like, Ozone Park. Yeah, that's Kensington, Astoria, yeah. Where you're from. Like, yeah, we're, like, everywhere.
And then you're in Brooklyn too. What part of Brooklyn you're in?
Kensington is one of them.
Oh, is that a place? And okay, then, my bad. Yeah,
it's like close to like Prospect Heights, I think, or something.
Okay,
like that,
yeah.
Right?
I know, I've seen that on the map. I've never paid attention.
Oh, Church McDonald's is what white people lived there. You thought.
Anyway, it's giving brown. It's giving Bangladesh. It's giving curry. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So East New York, as well, huge Bangladeshi.
Love that. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know y'all were spread out like that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah. We gotta take
but
every
yeah, talk about your experience because just for me as a black person, I started like naming the trauma recently because like it kind of happened like, you know, we kept on seeing those black people get killed on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, can we stop watching this? Like it was very triggering. And then we still had to work the next day. And then you have to still talk to white people and they're saying dumb stuff. And then you want to kill them, but then you can't. Sorry. You gotta do your little work, right? Because they say dumb things like, you know, if that young man would have just did this, that, he wouldn't have got killed. Like, it's just some stupid shit.
Oh, that enrages
me. It's
so
triggering, right? It's so triggering. Yeah. So how do you stop yourself from strangling white people?
I have, for the most part, avoided white people for most of my life.
That's really hard.
It is, but I tell you, like...
To the white people watching this podcast, we like y'all.
Yeah, you guys are great allies. Hello. For most of my life, I have actually been able to avoid.
Oh, because you live in Brooklyn.
Because of Brooklyn, because of, going to school in Brooklyn and going to school in Queens. Like, it was pretty, like... I feel like I had a safety net almost.
Got it.
My biggest haters were Arabs.
Got it. I can see that.
Like, I didn't even have like white ops like that. Like,
no, I can see. Yeah, that's true. Growing up in New York, it's like the racial dynamics shifted. Like,
yeah. It wasn't until college that I actually met.
True, me too.
White
I didn't even
people.
Meet any real white people till college. That's true.
Yeah.
That is very true. I mean, they were white people, but they were like Greek. Or Italian,
right,
and they were ethnic white, or they were like, it's like a different white. It's not like the real whites. I didn't know about them.
Oh, yeah, you mean
college.
Like the white American, like the,
yes, the white American.
Milk-toast white.
Yeah, those. And also, I met some real blacks there as well. Because, like, I will say, like, growing up in New York, everyone's like, you can be black, but you're like Caribbean or African or something. Mm-hmm, but the black Americans, I'm half black American, but you know, it's different in New York. But yeah, I met the real blacks there too. They're also very, they have their own little thing going on. It's very interesting. but it'll contribute to my racial trauma. But yeah, how was it growing up? Because I used to get made fun of just for being black growing up, and I'm assuming it was you got made fun of for being from Bangladesh.
The obvious jokes are always like, you know, we smell weird, we got like food that like is yellow. just like has like a lot of color and a lot of flavors and like smells and things like that. That was like the big thing, right? And then like, you know, just being made fun of for like our cultural clothes and stuff like that. Like and like now a lot of these things are like
a fire. Like everyone loves it, right?
Part of the zeitgeist, right? Like like oiling your hair. Like my mom used to oil my hair growing up and like
Black people, we were oiled in our hairs too.
So like it's protecting your hair.
They were making fun of you for that?
Of course. I mean,
that's so weird.
If you go to school, I mean like my mom would make sure not to like, you know,
put too much oil.
Send me to school with like oily hair.
Because you don't
want to
be
like
looking
that.
At coming because
then you look like a grease ball.
Coming
and I get it. I get it. But also like that's like a part of the culture, you know, you just
You out here being greasy. No,
yeah,
I understand.
Exactly.
My mom put vaseline on my face.
Our skin's so glowing right now.
Right. Because I've seen the rest of you in the grease. Okay, so got that. So growing up, it was a big deal. A lot of people talk about, like, so it's weird because in here in New York, like, I have friends that are Desi or whatever, but I actually don't really think about them being Muslim, if that makes any sense.
That makes sense,
It's always there's... like you mostly think about them being Desi. So what did you get made fun of for being... What do you feel like most of your trauma is wrapped in?
I think it was mostly from being South Asian, right?
Like, okay, got it.
As I said, like, Arabs... I love me my Arabs, okay? I really do. But some of y'all be...
Arabs, you're okay.
Y'all be you're acting out
They be
turn.
Racist too, but they, some of y'all
you
are
do,
right.
You do, and we need to right. talk about it. And yeah. it's okay. We're going to talk about it. Like... Being Muslim, they, like, a lot of Arabs, like, grow up with this, like, snobbiness of being like, oh, we're like
the ultimate Muslim,
the actual Muslims, because like the Quran is in Arabic and shit like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry that we were colonized. We accepted Islam though, didn't we? Like, fuck you.
No, I get it.
But yeah, I mean that was part of it. I feel like South Asians get like a lot of hate, and like South Asian Muslims, it's but it's like nothing that like will get me killed. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying.
Like, it won't like harm me in ways that like I can't live my life, my day to day, you know, anything like that. Like, I have to make this distinction that, you know, my safety was never in question.
Got it.
The same way that like Black Americans' safety is in question.
No, I get that. But you know? there was a South Asian couple that was killed in somewhere in America when Trump was president. I don't remember. Oh. Somebody Google it. But South Asians have been killed because like people have mistaken them for being Muslim.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or, like,
so the Sikh community after 9/11 and things like that, like they've carried the brunt of the
they really
attacks
did,
and
they had
things
the
like that.
On
you know? Yeah, and that's just how that goes to show how dumb
Americans
are.
Yeah, Americans are really
like,
stupid.
like you can't even tell the difference. Like, you're just attacking anybody that looks different than you. So, yeah, I think that because you're brown, I think the attack of Muslims happen because of that, right?
Got it.
So, like, growing up, like, our neighborhood was always, like, very Caribbean, Bengali, Hispanic, you know, all of that, West Indian as well. Like, so whenever there would be, like, kind of, like, brown-on-brown crime, it would be really, really heartbreaking because, you know, like we've had, like... Muslim men be stabbed, like, you know, just walking down the street, killed in their cars. And like, we just hear the news, and it's like literally like the block that my grandmother lives on. And it's like this kind of news, like, obviously hurts, but it is all under because of white supremacy, because we're given this propaganda that like these are your enemies.
No, that's true. It is really weird, and it's weird how the media plays into it and all that, and like, yeah, it's crazy. It's just wild. But you were getting onto something because you were saying because you're South Asian is not necessarily as unsafe as other groups, or like, but dig more into that. Like, how do you feel protected in the United States? I mean, I think the United States is a dangerous place. But, like, do you feel safe in New York, safe in the United States in general?
I have always grown up with the sense that, like, I'll never let anybody make me feel unsafe. Not to say that I haven't felt unsafe, because, I mean, like... men exist in the same spaces we're at, right? Like,
they're a threat.
Like, our biggest fucking predators,
they
right?
They are a threat. Men are a threat, yes.
But I think that for me, like, it's important for me not to loudly, like, if... I'm trying to, like, put this in words that, like, won't sound crazy. Mm-hmm. But, like... it's important for me to not feel unsafe, if
Got
that makes
it.
Sense.
So you want to live, you want to be free. You want to live in a space
be free,
of,
but also because, like, once you start vocalizing your unsafeness, or, like, if you start talking about, like, oh, I feel unsafe in this area or whatever, that causes policing.
Yeah, that's true. That
you
is
know,
true.
Like,
yeah,
I never want to be. Yes, exactly.
Which is actually never, insane.
And like, I wouldn't. I don't want to do that to fellow human beings.
No, I get it.
Regardless of your color,
did
race,
you grow up in Stop
and
Frisk?
Of course.
I mean, because I did in New York City.
We're the same age.
I was like, they be stopping you for being black.
They really one time, like, they took my book bag and just, like, of course.
I didn't know they stopped. I thought they were just stopping the blacks and the Latinos.
The Stop and Frisk was also part of, like, the Patriot Act, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, 9/11, all that shit. Like, yeah, yeah, you know, they were stopping y'all, too?
Yeah.
We also get stopped. Yeah, fuck that feeling unsafe. That's for the white people, because they don't get stopped. And, like, it literally, it's crazy.
How do you feel unsafe by your own community? Tell me how.
I mean, well, you're more likely to get killed by someone who looks like you.
That's true.
But
I feel like if you're creating this environment of you know, feeling unsafe and things like that, then you're just feeding
into it.
You're perpetuating.
And also, unsafeness is something that white supremacy uses to basically take away rights. And they even do it to themselves. I'm like, don't you understand? You're taking away your own rights, dumbass.
Right.
When we think about the Patriot Act surveillance, it was this like point of feeling unsafe. And then people talk about being over surveillance, how they have all this access. It's like, okay, your unsafe bullshit led to the fact that, you know, we are...
Yeah, that's why the TSA lines are so long.
Heavily
fuck
surveillance.
Off.
But yeah, so that is a good point. I do like that point. In terms of, like, work, now that you're an adult or even in comedy, in terms of... Because I do want to bring it back to, like, racial trauma and how you deal with it. Have you had any experiences that have caused you any trauma or anything that have, like, you know, make you second... Anything that has, like... just held you, made you pause for a little bit because it was just such like, you were like, was that discrimination? Was that, like, you know, when you're trying to, sometimes things happen to us and like, we don't want to think about it being discrimination. But then the more you think about it, the more you're like, fuck. And then like, has anything like that happened to you?
Like in comedy?
In comedy or at work or whatever. In your adulthood?
I think it's a lot of censorship, right? It's like, I can't talk about this because I'll lose my job or whatever, right?
Yeah,
I can't.
White
men
feel like that too, I heard.
Yeah, because they can't say the N-word. That's different.
We
Bob.
Say- Wait, go on, sorry. Yeah, that's different, right?
I think it's like in comedy, I've definitely felt like, oh, this doesn't resonate. What I'm talking about doesn't resonate.
Oh, because they might not have the same
lived
experience.
Right. And like, I mean, boils down to like having material that's for brown people versus having material that's for white people, you know?
Yeah.
Shit like that. But I do think that the whole world, because of the internet, is learning about different cultures and
it's
stuff
like weird
that, you know?
The internet really the internet educating y'all a little too much.
I've seen a shift because from like 2018 to now, like if I talk about, you know, having immigrant parents and making jokes about them, I mean, like white people do get a little bit tight when you talk about like getting beat by your parents, but it's like
I got beat.
Yeah. I'm just like man, if you don't laugh about it, if I don't laugh about it, then this is just
sad. This is just trauma, right? It is trauma.
Yeah, but if we don't talk about it, then it's just, it's trauma that will just, like, you know, live inside of us. And,
no, that makes sense. So you do see a shift. You think, like, the internet has actually educated people on other cultures.
I think so.
Which is weird. I hope, like, damn, we need to, there's too much being, the internet's doing too much.
there's a lot going on the internet.
How do you deal, like, I've honestly found myself in terms of, like, heightened racial trauma here in the United States, especially during, I remember, like, I don't know, just when you see things happening, I remember the Muslim ban happened, and then, like, Trump got elected, and he was, like, talking about both sides, this, that, and the third. I was able to get a lot of self-care out of, like, listening to Beyonce. For some odd reason, like, anything, like, Beyonce really helps the black woman, I don't know, because. And her also her sister, Solange. So I remember that getting me through that tough time. Is there anything you do for self-care when you experience some sort of, like, discrimination or microaggression?
I mean, just my mom's food, right? Like,
oh, okay. Eating.
I turn turn to food.
Okay, yeah. That too.
I think, like, yeah, food, music, of course.
Okay, yeah,
you know,
music.
Yeah. Definitely just, like, also isolating myself from white people.
That, you know, working from home really, really.
It really does. I think last month, I just did not go into the office.
Just don't go in. And you ain't never got to talk to Susie and Sally about nothing.
I can just pretend from Slack that I'm, like, having a grand old time.
Yeah, that's true. And then you do shows like Kuta Gang, which is, like, all South Asian,
yeah,
it seems like.
I mean, that is for when we started the show 5 years ago, it was just to highlight, like, all of these brown women that are doing comedy, right?
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
I mean, starting out, we were so tokenized. We'd be like, oh, here's your one brown woman on this show and this lineup and blah, blah, blah. And then, like, it'll be like, look at it. It's, for us, it was, like, showcasing all these women.
Yeah.
Right? Showcasing all of these talented, hilarious women and queer folks, you know, and just giving them a platform so that, like, they have.
And comedy has shifted in that regard, I feel. I feel like there's a lot of spaces.
You think so?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it hasn't. I just feel like there's a lot.
I feel like after.
You think there's a lot of shows?
After, girl, let me tell you something, okay? I really thought that we were making
progress.
We were making progress pre-COVID.
But you feel like we ain't?
No, I feel like. Have you seen how many lineups now are just all white men?
Yeah, but I was like, oh, they be outside. But. That's true. They do overpower. I would say they do overpower the lineups.
I
do
get there's a lot of them.
Especially, I know there's a lot. There's also a lot of them, apparently. Because I was talking to some white people, and they were saying that they were like, there are not that many of you. That's so weird, because I can name, like, 50 women of color in comedy, and
right,
they book one,
yeah,
of us per show.
Yeah.
I will say the industry, I looked at your lineups. We're not going to talk about recent festivals or festivals. Actually, we are going to talk about them. Yeah, the over-reliance on white men, they're not that funny. So it's like you want a good show or you just want a show, bitch. Like, you know what I mean? So it is, like, I did think it was diversifying because I do think there are more niche shows now.
I do, yeah, there are.
Even my show, Purple Park Comedy, no shade. If you're not a Jewish white man, we probably won't book you. No shade, though. You know, they the funniest. But no,
truly.
Just joking. No, I'm not. But I just would like to say, we don't like to over-reliance of that, right? We like,
yeah,
different types,
yeah,
of personalities.
And,
like,
I also think, like, going back to, you know, talking about South Asian and Muslim people, it is so important to have a platform, right?
Yes.
Because our representation is so determined by white media.
It is, and with the negativity they
exactly
put out. They don't even acknowledge, like, that South Asians are, that some South Asians are Muslim. It's,
yeah,
like, they don't even talk about it.
Right.
Do they,
right,
even talk about South Asians? I mean, actually.
Going back to Arabs, okay.
I mean, you guys have Hasan Minhaj, who was like, did you hear what happened to him?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I'm glad he, you know.
He cleared it up.
Cleared,
but that was crazy.
It
was almost like he got hate crime twice. He had to really prove his own oppression. Who was that white lady? That's why you can't trust the media.
That's why you gotta make your own shit. That's why you,
yeah,
gotta put your own.
Son, you,
but you see, that's his own fault for talking to a white woman.
You should never talk to that white lady. Mm-mm.
That's his own fault. Mm-mm. His shows were gonna sell out anyways. Why you had to talk to the New Yorker?
Yeah, exactly. That, look what they done did to you. See, you fucked up. But
yeah.
Thank you so much, Zuby, for, like, giving. For having. Yes, for just coming on the show and sharing this information. Is there anything else that you want to share with our guests about this topic as it relates to, like, things you may do? You said you eat of your mom's food. You said you, try to stay away from white people. When you have to talk to them, is there anything that you do? Is there anything else that you do? Like, you create your own space. I understand that. Is there anything else? Any other tips you would give people?
I feel like if you ever need to take a break from hating white people,
mm-hmm,
and blaming them for things, just go to Jackson Heights. You'll find brown people to hate.
That's true. There's a lot of them there. That's what I love about Queens. You know, growing up, we wasn't like, because it wasn't like this white shit. It was just more like, oh, everyone's kind of annoying, and everyone acting too much like their nationality was very annoying.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it happens when you grow up in a diverse neighborhood. Oh, like
I I know the reasons why I hate Indians.
He's like, yeah, you guys, like you Puerto Ricans being a little too Puerto Rican, you know. So that's always fun. Okay, I love that. I love that. So thank you so much for sharing with us. So this is We're Done Here Pod. So at the end of every episode, we talk. You're kind of dumb with racial trauma, I guess. but it's a lifelong struggle. But is there anything else you're not done with?
Is there anything that I'm not done with? Mm-hmm. Does it have to pertain to race?
You can do whatever. No, anything. Either anything. It usually is pop culture, honestly.
Oh. Anything that I'm not done with.
Or done with?
Anything that I am done with.
Whatever. It could be
I'm
either.
Not done with. I'm not done with potatoes. Okay.
Oh.
Potatoes are great. Nobody talks about how great potatoes are.
I gave up potatoes a while ago.
You got to get back on potatoes, man.
I mean, I do like, potatoes? I guess a french fry, even a french fry is like, oh, this french fry. I, like, it's so, I feel so guilty eating them.
I know, but they're so good. They're so good.
Potatoes.
I'm sorry I didn't have a better answer.
No, potatoes are great. Yeah, like, fuck around with some potatoes. Thank you.
Mika's really trying to stretch this, and she's like, bitch, give me something better.
No, like, you know what? We gonna go with these potatoes, people. I can say, what am I not done with? So I don't know if you watched the show on Max. I guess HBO doesn't exist anymore. Very weird.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
It's so stupid.
I'm not done with HBO. I'm still calling it.
Don't fuck with HBO. First of all, HBO Max. Nobody give a fuck about Max. Anyway, But yeah, exactly.
Because here's the thing, okay? It makes me tight that growing up, I never got to have HBO because it's all rated R shit, you know?
Yeah.
All of that. And, like, you know, my parents were like, no, that's haram or whatever. And then finally in my adulthood, I get to make the choices of, like, having HBO and stuff. Now it's Max.
What the fuck is this Max shit?
Now it's Max.
Yeah, I don't like Max. We don't like Max. But on Max, there's a show called The Gilded Age. And, like, I don't know. I like that periodic shit. And it's about these rich bitches. And there's a black rich one. But she, like, I don't know. She kind of, she worked for the other lady, but they snobby, whatever. And there's, like, this family. I don't know. The man is brown looking, but whatever. They new money. And he got mad money. He got this crazy wife. And she is new money, and the old bitches don't fuck with her. But she had to take over New York City, y'all. That's what I'm saying. The Gilded Age. It's a fly-ass show.
What period is this?
I don't know. 1800s? Them bitches where they have the skirts, the big skirts? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they be courting everybody and all that. Mm-hmm. It's cute. Let's watch it.
Okay. Oh, well.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Okay, thank you. This has been another episode of We're Done Here Pod. Please find us wherever you find podcast recordings. Thank you so much.